Good Sunday morning to you. This is the CAG Podcast coming from Starbase Indy 2017. And next up, we have Klingons to Starfleet, What's in the Uniform? A discussion led by Jen Baum and Maggie Cohen.
So this panel I call Klingons to Starfleet, What's in the Uniform? And my name is Jen Buselis, I'm Klingon Pop Warrior, and I started cosplaying in 2014. So I've only been at it for about, and it was like summer of 2014 when I started building my first cosplay. So I've only been at this for about 2.5 years. And the very first, and I said, I had some questions on here. What was my first cosplay? And I actually brought it. I built Mara from Day of the Dove.
And it was a big hit at the CAG gathering that year.
And I won Best Original Series Female at that convention. And I was freaking floored. And it was really exciting. And the hardest thing I ever built, I also, because I brought all my stuff with me, last year I built Beverly Crusher, and building a Starfleet uniform is hands down, it is at this point, 2.5 years in, the hardest thing I've ever built. I can't imagine, I mean, unless I start going Regency or something, I can't imagine building something harder at this point. But I know that Maggie's about to blow people's minds.
Oh.
So,
and my Klingon name is Jen Baum.
I'm Maggie. I'm also Alan Prenna for CAG. I started costuming, actually it wasn't Star Trek, it was steampunk back in 2011. I was very hesitant to get into sewing. I had a bad experience with a friend trying to teach me how to use a sewing machine in the past. So I was like, no, I don't want to. And a different friend of mine convinced me that I really should try it out. When I got into Star Trek, I wanted to make Cardassian armor, which I don't have with me. It was really rough. It's durable. You could run it over with a car and it wouldn't die. But it doesn't look good. But this is the second Star Trek one I made. It was a tunic for a Cardassian civilian. And it's just made out of a jacket pattern, but I put the closure in the back so you don't have the giant zipper down the front. And then the hardest thing I've made is my Discovery House to Kuzma armor that I just got done for this, and it wasn't horrible to do, but it was really time consuming, and now I don't know what to do with my life that I'm not doing this anymore.
So one of the things that I was thinking about with this panel, because I'm somebody who has, my skills have improved over the last couple years, but I'm still pretty basic overall. I'm not doing anything super crazy with ruffles and gathers and like just tons of layers and things like that. A lot of pieces sometimes, but there are things I think about when I decide I want to build a costume. And so I was kind of breaking down cosplaying in that idea of budget, time, and skill set. Like I feel like, and kind of maybe comfort. Like, I feel like those are the four things, and you're probably going to sacrifice at least one of those things when you're creating a cosplay, unless you give yourself a year, and then maybe you can make everything work for you.
Or you get into a panic, and you just
go, 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 go. Yeah. There's also that concept of sort of screen accurate versus not, sort of more inspired by, and how far do you want to take it? Like Maggie, for this Discovery Klingon, I mean, this is like, holy crap, there's a lot of detail in this, it's, you know, it clearly shows a level of skill.
It's not screen accurate though.
It's not necessarily screen accurate.
I don't think I've ever done a costume that I would say was truly screen.
I think the closest I came was my Beverly Crusher, and that is because the patterns that were available are online are actually the costumer's original patterns that have been copied. So I'm literally following the original costumer's pattern. This is a season one, season two version. Actually, I really loved this detail. There's the extra color along the collar, and it doesn't have the high collar, which kind of made it a little more comfortable and easy to make. But also comfortable, I should say, easier to make around the neck. Not easier to make overall, because there are the shoulders are comprised of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pieces just in the shoulders. And they all have to come together, for the most part, at a perfect point. It took me 2 mock-ups and a lot of patience before I did it. I did it with the actual fabric that I did. And I think that's an important thing to note, is like, if you want to try something hard, do it. Like, you know, I learned a lot, but give yourself the time to make mistakes and give yourself the crappy fabric to make mistakes. Use like the $4.99 remnants bin to build a couple of things. It doesn't have to look good, and you can just throw it in the trash when you're done. But you at least learned before you took to your like $15-16 a yard fabric, and then suddenly.
Yeah, or the fabric that came out of the red tag section where you have so much left on a bowl, and it's like, yes, I want all of it. Give me all of it, but it's what I just have. I have like just enough for that, and just enough for the toss dress.
Yeah,
so I was like, okay, I really can't screw this up too badly.
Right, and if you can't screw it up, then you really want to go, and if you can, take that time to buy a couple yards of something crappy to, like, especially if you find the perfect fabric. When I went and I found the fabric that I got for my Mara, I couldn't believe my luck, and I mean, you can come up and take a look at things or whatever, but this actually has striping in it, and it's really hard to see from a distance, but when you get up close, you can see it. There are these little vertical stripes in here that are very evocative of the original fabric that she wore. And I couldn't believe my luck when I found it. And so it was the last, I bought whatever was left on the bolt. They were like, do you just want the rest of the bolt? I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. And then I found out recently, I was in the same fabric warehouse, and I found another bolt of it.
Ooh.
They had like a whole other bolt. Wow. So if you ever come up to Chicago and you want like TOS, it's a little bit scratchy, but they have a boatload of it at the fabric discount outlet.
if you wear it over like an undershirt or something.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it's a little less. But that's sort of that idea of finding something that was really close. And going with it, and especially with original series uniforms, they were doing everything so far down on the cheap that, like, I mean, their belts were practically, belt buckles were like bubble wrap.
Yep, and cardboard.
It was bubble wrap and cardboard. So, you know, screen accurate is what, you know, it is what it is, even for television. You know, they're using crazy things to piece together, you know, all of these costumes. So what the next thing that I think about when I'm building is like, what are the important elements of a costume? Especially if I don't have the skills to build an actual like fancy Klingon Lursa Bator kind of a crazy dress, you know? Like, I don't have the skill set yet to do that. So like, and I don't necessarily want to, because my Klingon, what I do as a Klingon is not that. I'm not interested in being Lursa or being Betor, and I'm interested in being Jenbon, the Klingon Pop Warrior. So I'm building a costume for me. So there's that idea of why are you building your costume, and what do you need to make it, you know, does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. with the toss one, in reality, they have for the females, they have a weird little skorts thing at the bottom, where it's like this one-piece skorts business.
It's a short, yeah.
And I really despise shorts. I hate wearing them. I hate making pants with like a burning passion. I would rather do that again than make a pair of pants. Like, that's how much I despise pants. So I'm like, I'm not doing it that way. I'm going to do it as a mini dress. So I got a 60s mini dress pattern. It only had 2 pattern pieces, actually. Those are really easy.
We probably have the same pattern. Or very close. And I did the same thing. I'm going to a convention. the last thing I want to do is be zipping and unzipping and getting, I have to go to the bathroom.
That's my thing. Going to the bathroom is really actually important. It's one of the things that all my costumes have to pass the bathroom test. Can I use the bathroom in this?
Yeah. And if I can't, you know, as if I'm going to be wearing it all day, like, I'm going to have somebody follow me around, and it's like being a bride for a day because they're going to be holding up your skirt and wiping your butt for you. Like,
yeah, I can do without that. I'm just like...
So I'm like, no, thank you. I will go to the restroom on my own, and I will wear a little dress instead of shorts. And
yeah,
but it works, and it still gives the look of the original uniform.
Because it has a lot of, they have a lot of distinctive elements, because you have the mesh sleeves and all the trim, and...
Right.
And the little mini dress is basically the same silhouette as the skorts. It just doesn't involve pants.
Pants and a side zipper. I think it was a side zipper on those. Actually, she may have even been sewn into it.
Ugh. Yeah.
Alice Krieg was talking about having it sewn into her Borg costume, and if she had to go to the bathroom, what that meant. And it was not good.
Yeah.
Alice Krieg, did I say Alice Krieg? Borg Queen? But yeah, I like, yours has a zipper on the back.
Yep.
But when I built this was because this was the first thing I had really ever sewn. I did like something really silly in like eighth grade or like home ec class when that was still a thing because I'm old. So I'm like, I don't want a zipper. I want to be able to pull this over my head. So this fabric is actually really stretchy. At least it was. It's a few years old now. But there's actually some stretch to it and some give to it. And you can also tell I had no idea what I was doing with the collar. I've since learned how to actually sew a better collar.
Oh yeah,
collar.
My collar's kind of rough. I used Gray Check too, so it has an interesting texture.
Yeah. But it works, and it went over my head back when I was like 20 pounds lighter. But I can't get it over. This is actually velvet. And I gave it a little bit of, you can actually go through there, so there's extra space to get it over my head, but I can't get it over my boobs anymore. So we're in the Klingon room, so I thought I would actually start with Klingons. So, and we've kind of touched on some of this stuff already, but I kind of wanted to just like walk through some of the different races and talk about fabrics, talk about colors, talk about details and props and things like that, ways that you can kind of make your stuff pop a little bit extra. This is sort of low level, and then Maggie's actually going to do like a beginning Klingon sewing slash construction class later on, I believe. So,
yep, that's that one.
This is just sort of like to start giving people ideas, know that you can be a beginner and still make as long as you think through what you want to do and know what you want it to look like, you can kind of improvise and make it work.
Just thinking through it, if you have something that you're maybe a little unsure about, like I've written step-by-step instructions for myself before, just so that, because when you break things down, a lot of times they're not nearly as bad as you would think that they are. It's just when you see the whole completed uniform, you're like, oh my God. But if you break things down, it's not so bad.
Right. So with Klingons, we have so many different kinds now, which is kind of crazy. So Maggie's actually wearing a very simple animated series thing. It's a really simple tunic. It looks like it might have even been a t-shirt at one time.
Oh, this dress is two sweatshirts sewn together. Why I wore this today, because I'm going to talk about it in my panel, because it is a really good beginner project. It involves very little sewing. The tunic was a t-shirt pattern without the sleeves. So this is just like a two-piece pattern, and these are two sweatshirts.
So.
It was just,
and
you
then
had
a little sew.
It's easy. This has one seam. It's around the middle.
Yeah. And that's even something that would take some time, but it wouldn't even be a terrible thing to do by hand if you're terrified of a sewing machine.
You could totally do it by hand.
I will talk about something that I did by hand this past month in a moment. So the colors for the animated series, purple, I think it's like black and or gray.
Yeah, it varies. Sometimes the dress will be, and their like pants and tops will be like an eggplant color. Sometimes they're gray. It seems to depend. And but their little vests are purple. I downloaded a picture on my phone and then went to the fabric store and I compared it to the purples. We went to the Point Grey because this was actually a group ship costume and we wanted to be able to get matching stuff, which was easier.
And I mean, that's great because you can just buy a t-shirt if you want and a pair of gray pants, or you can find gray dresses in secondhand stores. Like, these are all things you can find even in a secondhand store. I mean, you could go find a purple t-shirt and cut the sleeves off of it and cut the neck wider and hem it and belt it, and you basically have a look. Like, there are easy ways to, and show up. Well, there was a kid in the cosplay contest who did a Link. It was this from like it was like a Legend of Zelda Link, and it was a blue t-shirt that he found, and then he cut the sleeves off and widened the thing. And this kid was great. I don't even know how old he is. I don't think he was more than like 12 or 13. And he did his sister's. She was a Zelda. Oh my God, they were so cute. And he hand painted all of the detail on it, just by hand. And so, like, it's not about embroidery, and it's not about, it's about finding things. You have these crazy jewel things that look really...
They were in Joanne's, were they buttons? Or, like, in the jewelry section?
They were in the button section. They were the, you have to sew them on. They have that little round piece on the back.
Yep.
Yeah,
so they're, like, decoration
of
buttons.
But
we cut them off.
In, like, the little pin backs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we cut them off, filled it in, because they were hollow, and put, like, pin backs on them. That's
yeah.
it.
So yeah, Joanne Fabrics.
The next I would say we've got our original series Klingons, and we even have this gentleman back who looks freaking fantastic. You and your dad look great. Oh my God. The pants. I don't know how, did you guys make your, or did?
We did alterations on some stuff that my dad's friend had done.
Nice.
So. I think the vest and the over pants are from Patty.
Yeah,
Patty Pye is that name, but she's on the Klingon groups.
Yeah, it's like Trade Winds, I think is her.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
So this is a fabric that I was lucky enough to find, and it was pretty much a two-piece pattern, front and back, that I just had to sew and do a little extra detailing. I taught myself how to do darts.
Oh, yeah,
to make
so
it,
much fun, darts.
To make it fit a little, just like be a little more like, I actually could probably take the darts out and maybe it would fit.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. And some velvet. The sleeves, it looks like yours actually has glitter sewn into it.
It does. When I first got it, I didn't know if it was the thread or the glitter until I got it home and I had it sitting on my sewing table and I picked it up and there was like gold glitter all over the table. I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? But yeah, it was from Joanne Fabrics.
So mine was a straight black mesh that I then took, and when you live in Chicago, if you want spray paint, you have to go to the suburbs. To get it, you can't get spray paint in the city because graffiti, like that stops people. But this is gold Rust-Oleum spray painted on top of it. And one of the things that I love is they were much more gold when it started, but I love the fact that it's starting to fade some and it looks a little battle worn and just like it's just starting to look like I've kind of seen some shit. And I love that. Now my jewels, I actually got, they're so rattly on this thing. I couldn't find anything great like those. I hunted far and wide for like the little jewels that Mara has, and it's just two on each side. But I actually have four that are the same. They're on here really poorly. That were the right colors and kind of gave me the right shape. So, and the right look. When it actually is laying on my chest, or like laying on my collarbone, they stay better. But, hi. And yeah, so, but this was a really simple pattern. Like, I had almost no experience, and I still actually did a mock-up with this one because I hadn't sewn anything since I was like 12 years old. So, and I had just gotten a sewing machine and had to learn how to use it. And yeah, can we help you, sir?
I do apologize. I'm supposed to be the head count taker, tennis taker.
It's up on that thing right there.
Thanks.
So yeah, we what I did with the jewels, and I went to like a bead store. I went to like three different places. I did a Joann's, and I did a bunch of other things until, and I walked into this really fancy bead shop in like Oak Park, so like a really nice little suburb attached to the city. And I'm like, ladies, I'm looking for this, and I showed them a picture of Mara, like as zoomed in as I could get, and they're like, let's see what we can do. And these beads are so heavy and so nice, like they're really nice glass beads. I was like, that's fine, Mara's a little fancy.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten, I need to do that. Like, these have, yeah, this was also a two-piece pattern. It was very easy, but the way that they did the darts in the front were a little bit different because you actually like cut it out and stitched it, which.
That's how my Beverly is.
Nice, because this is, that's upholstery fabric from the Red Tag section, like most of my costumes. So it was nice to get rid of the extra bulk, but it looked really strange on the pattern. I'm like, what am I doing with this? I ended up Googling the pattern for more directions before I cut the fabric, because I had just enough fabric.
Right.
So Google your friend.
Oh my God, yeah. I have a whole section here about skill sets. The next one we've got are the more like TNG, Deep Space Nine, kind of what most people nowadays recognize as Klingons. I didn't bring any of my prosthetics down, but I did bring my costume that I was wearing yesterday. And it's really funny because once I show this, it's going to make the Elsa be like, you cheater. So Klingons for TNG, Deep Space Nine, a lot of blacks. A lot of blacks and grays, some reds thrown in for good measure to kind of spice things up a little bit. You get some really cool like cloaks and things and like browns and reds. And
you get some pictures of civilians,
yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
And so some more laid back stuff. When I built mine, I was going for sort of a rock star. So I got glitter, which I also like because it's a little bit evocative of the original series Klingons too. So you get, because boy, they love their glittery sort of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because glittery gold means alien and future. Alien and future. So this is a skirt I built. It's four pieces. This is another one. It was a four-piece pattern. One band here, one band there that got sewn together, and then these. It's two pieces, the other. It required a boatload of fabric, but it was a really easy pattern. And you'll notice I didn't actually hem any of it. This, because it, first of all, it's vinyl. And it's really, really, really thick. So that was part of it. I also love how this hangs when I walk. And if I had hemmed it, I would have lost that hang. I would have lost that. And so I was like, I'm not gonna do it, and it fit better. I could have put a little bit of something in the waistband if the original pattern technically had a fold over and some elastic, but because of how thick this was, it actually stayed on my hips just fine the way that it was. And when I put my corset down and cinched my corset, it holds it in place for the most part. It's very sweaty. This is when you talk about comfort. This is really not comfortable, but it looks so good, I willingly sacrifice because I love how this looks on stage. But it's like sort of an alligator print, so I look for like animal prints when I'm thinking about Klingons. They have their fur sleeves, which is why I actually built these sleeves with elastic at the top. This is one, you know, two pieces, just a piece of elastic that I kind of like put around my arm. I didn't even measure because I don't, like, what am I doing? I don't know. And then I found this great fur, which yesterday I took off and I realized it looks like there are deltas.
Oh my gosh.
That's cool. I have been wearing these for 3 years, and I just noticed that there is this pattern on here that looks like Starfleet deltas. Now I have to throw my sleeves away. Yeah, I found this fabric this was in a remnant bin, and I still have a little bit more. It's warm, but sometimes that's okay, and sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's hard to get around because they...
Klingons have a lot of layers.
They're like fur and leather, and there's usually
stuff. The fabrics, you usually have a t-shirt, you have maybe the fur sleeves on attached to it to save yourself a little extra heat. Maybe you put a fur coat or a fur vest or something over it so you have your fur sleeves. Then you have your armor on top of that, maybe a battle cloak or a command cloak on top of that. Plus your pants. There are a shitload of layers with the next gen, and so the next gen is sort of Deep Space Nine look, and then you have now on top of all that you also have a prosthetic, and usually a wig depending. Like I still wear a wig even though I have long hair, mostly because I'm too lazy to blend my ridges, and so I would rather have a whole headpiece that just goes. And I'm on and I'm done. So you've got your fur, you've got your sort of leather inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Gauntlets.
Your gauntlets or bracers with some glyphs on them. These glyphs mean nothing from what I've been told. I don't read Picard, but it's not really Picard. And then I did a corset. I had wished I could find a corset that didn't have like a flower pattern on it, but whatever. People can't even really tell. I liked these little buckles. I mm-hmm. felt like they looked kind of cool and rock star. And that was that especially with the female Klingons that we see, they love to like just shove their boobs up through that boob window. So I was like, I'm gonna wear a corset and just kind of push them up. Push up the girls and show them off, because that's apparently what Klingon women like to do. at least in those two, or you know, in those couple of shows. So, and then you've got your little gorget. Is that how it's said? I don't know.
I don't think I've heard it pronounced. I've only
gorget.
Gorget.
have to have somebody that's medieval costuming.
Yeah. And this thing I got off of Amazon for like $40, I think. It had these little like cute metal things along the side, these little chains and stuff too, that when they were all on there looked great, but they just kept popping off one at a time. And so when one would pop off, I'd pop off the one on the other side and kept them matching. And eventually I just pulled them all off because what was the point? And they would get caught up in my stuff. One of the things you can do really easily too with is just wear a sash with your street clothes. You can make, this one's like really fancy. I just got this. My buddy had it and he had another one and he didn't wear this one. And so
nice.
He was like, I'll sell it to you, and he sold it to me for like a third of what he paid for it.
They're fun because you can actually like pin lots of stuff.
Oh,
I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, and I actually used, it was what I had. It's green, like, I don't know what this, it's like wire that you use for like fake flower arrangements.
Something.
Yeah, to actually attach my pins and my badges and stuff. I use my husband has a Dremel, so I used the Dremel to shave off the pin backs that had been sort of embedded into things so that I could put them on there and not poke myself. But yeah, so that's sort of using your skill set, which is very limited, to create a look that is, when people see me, they know, oh my gosh, you are a Klingon. And it's like, yes, I am. Did the forehead give it away? And then you've got your Star Trek Discovery.
Yes, I do.
Oh my god, all the leather. They are like the leather kings. They
yes.
wear all the Gorns. I feel like they just went to the Gorn planet and killed them all.
Oh, you know sure. what, though? I like right. it because, what?
Back. Back. No, or the front. I'm sorry. It's got a piece that's sticking out.
One stick? Oh. Yeah. This velcro's over the zipper to hide it, so kind of have to stick it under. But actually, I like the fake leather because it's a lot of materials that aren't stretchy, they're not slippery, they don't fray. It's the stuff that I don't have an epic sewing machine battle with. The only thing is that it is thick, so definitely want to put in like a heavy duty needle. And with a heavy duty needle, it sewed through like three layers of this stuff. I just put my foot down the pedal and I prayed that it was going to go through, but it did. I needed the heavy needle. But this is actually pretty easy to work with fabric. It looks like leather, but it's fabric stuff. You don't need to hem it. You don't need to fray check it. Yeah.
Oh, that's
It's
crazy.
Very flexible.
It's,
I got it in the red tag section.
That's amazing. You and your red tag section.
I know, it's where I go first. And then the rest is upholstery vinyl, because this needed to be a little stiffer.
That's what my skirt is made out of. Yeah.
And like parts of this are, like this is glued. There's like a strip in the back with the Velcro. And these pieces are glued over top. I use like the Loctite vinyl glue.
Oh, nice.
And that works well for me. I made a little gluing station where I was like, I had stuff laying on paper, weighted down with random objects.
I did, I'm always like, if you can hot glue it, you can wear it. It's welcome to the theater.
Some stuff like glue works better, like these are glued wrong side to wrong side, and there's like a little tab that's sewn in. But yeah, these are glued, same thing. These pieces.
Oh, I didn't even see that underpiece there. That's
yes,
different.
It just buttons on because you can't see it. So you can unbutton it to get it on because it just opens down the front and you put it on like you would a jacket.
That's the one thing I want to build because spine armor is actually a part of the, like, they have that for the TNG and DS9 Klingons as well. They wear the spine armor. Oh, you had your little backpack.
Lolita. No, I have a Lolita version.
Mine matches my skirt, and it's actually just pieces of craft foam
with some fabric over the top.
Go for it.
My problem for my costume is I don't have anything to attach it to.
I didn't. Well, mine was
because I don't have something like this.
Oh, you mean you could attach
yeah.
it to the corset?
I could.
Or you could attach it to the collar.
That's
as a
true.
Snap or
yeah.
Buckle.
Actually, it's not bad. This stuff is very flexible, and around the neck, it will kind of bend. It doesn't jab me. When I first made it and I had it on the dress form, I was like, oh no, what if this is too high and it's going to jab me in the ear? And I tried it on and it was actually okay. It's a little bit, I mean, it's not a lightweight costume. I get cold easily, so it's not as bad. But I wouldn't want to wear it like outside on a warm day. This is actually, to keep this stuff together, this is lined with netting, and I use netting because I had had this formal skirt I used for steampunk that didn't fit anymore. Before I pitched it out, I scalped as much of the usable fabric out of it as I could, so I had like a pile of this stuff. So I stitched, this is one of the reasons this uniform took so long, I stitched all this crap in my hand, so that you wouldn't have giant seams.
Yeah. And that is definitely one way, especially because small seams on a machine usually mean that it's gonna eat it, and they're very close together. So if you screw up, it's really hard to pull apart.
Yeah. This isn't bad. It's a lot like wearing a jacket. I have gauntlets for it, but they're packed. And the gauntlets, I did the spikes the same way as I made them up here with a little tab that sews in, and they velcro closed.
Yeah.
So same.
Some of the other, you also get sort of the, there's a lot of little details on all Klingon uniforms, from like data rods to your comm badges and things like that. And those were things, little gloves, you know, you can buy all that stuff pretty easily online. There's people who sell just about everything if you don't want to make a mold and cast resin and stuff like that yourself. And that was when, so this is my Klingon Elsa that I built. And those were things that I was thinking about a lot when I built Elsa, because I'm like, this is not going to look like a Klingon, any kind of Klingon uniform. And so this is that idea when you're doing like a mashup or something, how do you pull in elements from all of the things to evoke, you know, what it is that you want. So I got these little white gloves that had little spiky things on them. Nobody could even really see that, but I knew they were there. And the little half gloves. And when I built my corset, I need to show people what a hot mess this is. This is proof you don't have to sew to win a costume contest, because I took best overall at the costume contest on Friday with this. This is the inside of my, this is all hand sewn. Everything on the front I hand sewed onto it. And it's a mess. This was a lot more difficult to work with than I thought it was gonna be. And so I kind of had to wing it. And I made a real, real mess of it. But this was my way of pulling in Disney princess elements, getting in the glitter, getting in the silver onto that. But then I have my data rods. So you still have that sort of Klingon thing happening there. And it was the same thing with my sleeves. I have a comm badge that's painted to match my uniform. My bracers that I built, these are pinned on right now because they just kept flipping around because they're kind of light. I used puffy paint, and instead of the glyphs that are standard, I put a snowflake on there to like be evocative of the glyphs, but pull in, so I'm pulling in those elements. Klingons put, with my homeworld badge, a giant snowflake. I put it too low, but the homeworld badge is a standard part of the Klingon uniform. So those were finding those little kind of things. The skirt, this fabric, I couldn't believe when I found it, and actually it was one of the things that the woman complimented me on the most. So sometimes the right detail that you find can really set your costume apart. This is velvet, but it's actually embossed with like an alligator pattern when you get up close and you see it. And so she saw that and she was like, you know, from behind it looked really simple, but then you just walked up and I looked at this fabric and that was a really inspired choice. And that's the kind of like looking for those little details mm-hmm. will kind of like push you, just that you can kind of push it and give it a little extra, you know, a little extra something. So I was like, thanks. I mean, I knew when I saw it that I had to buy it and that was my fabric, even though it didn't totally match my corset. I was like, I don't care. It all kind of will work together once it's together. And it did. But yeah.
Well, and one thing that I've noticed with costume making is if you are layering two different things, if they're the same color or a perfect match, you lose the depth perception of it, that, oh, it's actually two different articles.
Right.
You know, so having that color difference, even though that wasn't your choice, it works.
It worked. This, again, I didn't hem the top or the bottom because, again, I didn't want, this is a little bit thicker. I didn't want to lose that draping, and it doesn't fray. The top I didn't hem because since this stretches over time, and I didn't necessarily know that, and I've been wearing this skirt now for a few years, and I've gotten a little bigger over those few years. So I used the exact same pattern, and this just fit without hemming the top and putting in elastic. So I was like, it's done, skirt done. Four pieces. This is four pieces sewn, very simple stitch, just a single straight stitch, or like four straight stitches. Five, six, to get the sides up. Yeah, it was really, really easy. Actually, I guess it was four. It was one, two, and then three,
and then four.
So, yeah, ran it through the machine. But another thing, it's a little big, so it would be a little time consuming to do by hand, maybe. But it could be done by hand. Like it's, you know, really, really, really easy pattern. I look for patterns that say easy.
That's always nice. It's like I don't draft my own patterns. Patterns were when I started sewing, the most difficult thing for me to wrap my head around. And what I do when I look for costumes is I look for patterns in the store right shape that I can tweak to make them work right. Like for the Discovery, underneath all of this layers of stuff, it's actually the same pattern that this is made out of, only this doesn't have the sleeves, but, or I did the sleeves differently. But yeah, the same pattern for both of these items.
Yeah, I used the exact same skirt pattern for this that I did for this. I used the exact same concept for my regular costume that I wear to build out my Elsa. I used what I knew. But what was kind of fun was I had actually, these were made for me, and my collar was was made for me. So I had to figure out how to make bracers, and I had to figure out how to make a collar. And I basically traced. The nice thing was is when I laid this down, it gave me a seam allowance because it's a little bigger. Here's, you know, my stitches are here, so I've got a little extra on each side. So I was able to trace these. But what's really funny is they were still too big. So I had to just taper them down until they fit. And I made it work, and I loved, there were some little details in it, but I did a lot of tracing and trial and error. I had a lot of this material because it was because of the skirt and the way that the pattern had to be laid out, because the two pieces of the skirt for either side are so big, it just required a lot of fabric. So I had a ton of remnant fabric left over to make mistakes. Oh, there's the collar. And so that was the little collar. And I added the Klingons have like little rank pins and things like that. Even the original series Klingons have little rank pins that they wear. So I added little snowflakes for my rank pins. And then I added a couple more because I just had a boatload of snowflakes after I went to Michael's. So I was like, I'm just going to put snowflakes on everything. So yeah, that was Elsa. So that's sort of like taking mashups are fun and super popular now. So that was my sort of Star Trek take on a mashup. You had your Cardassian civilian.
Yes.
I love the Cardassians. Cardassians and Romulans, I feel like, are somewhat similar in that you can basically find upholstery.
Yes.
And for Romulans, make it like pink.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardassians, they got cold easily. They wore heavy fabrics.
Lizard
people. They were like me. I get cold easily. I like heavy fabrics. So I go to the red tag section. Upholstery fabric. And I somehow ended up with a boatload of this. I don't know what to do with it because I have a ton of this left over.
All of your furniture?
Well, no. But yeah, like you would say, both the men and women would often wear like tunic stuff like this and pants. Sometimes women would wear dresses. And the civilian clothes weren't hard to make. The actual armor is a pain. I called my armor Helmies. That's its nickname, Helmies. But stuff like this, not difficult at all.
Yeah.
You didn't bring Helmies?
No. Helmies is at home.
I had actually.
Helmies needs some work.
Yeah. There, and the Romulans, where are we? We got like 10 minutes, all right. Yeah, and it's the same thing with Starfleet. I built this guy. It's spandex. I got it from a website called Spandex World. They will send you free samples or send you samples. So I got three different teals and three different blacks that matched the teals to see which one I liked the best. And then I couldn't believe when this one, the two other ones were a little too blue, and then this one showed up and I was like, perfect. So I had some samples that I could choose from, and then it was just a matter of building my mock-ups. This was kind of the third thing I'd ever built, and it was quite a struggle. The patterns, there's two different, if you want to build a season one or season two Starfleet pattern, you can get them online. Look for anything that says updated. Dear God Almighty, look for ones that say updated.
Simplicity sells them now.
Simplicity sells them now as well. And they started selling them after I was more than halfway done with this.
But you gained so much experience.
Yeah!
And
The patterns that I was working with were actual tracings of the original costumer's patterns. There were no instructions. There were about 10 little things that were like, attach A to B, attach B to C, attach C to D, and did that. Two of the pieces were mismarked and were incorrectly marked. The instructions stopped and didn't tell me how to put all of it together. And I was a novice sewer. It was, and then the updated pattern came out and had like 4 pages of instructions with pictures. And after having gone through a mock-up with the first pattern, I at least had an idea of where I had to go. And the updated pattern had the piece that was incorrect remarked. Best part though, they threw a sticker on top of it. It was a printed sticker that they taped to it. So like eventually they realized that it was an incorrect thing, but they had all of these printouts of it already, and they're just slapping a sticker over the wrong piece. This is that I learned how to do an invisible zipper, and this is where I feel like talking about skill sets is a great thing. Maggie, where have you learned how to do everything you know?
Or the her mother-in-law.
you have a reference. Everything I know about sewing, I learned in my 8th grade home economics class, and I am 40 now. And YouTube.
YouTube's great.
YouTube's and blogs. I learned how to put in an invisible zipper on YouTube using a regular presser foot.
Was it hard sewing the spandex? Because I would think that it would bunch or pull together.
There's a presser foot you can shift to. It's more like a plastic one that it slides through a little bit easier, and then you just have to use the right stitch.
I've avoided spandex for that reason, thinking it's going to just go.
This is also, it's definitely stretchy, but if you feel it, it's pretty hardy.
Yeah.
It's a toasty, it's a warm costume. It's a onesie.
It's a onesie.
Yeah. It's stretchy, slippery.
Yeah. And when you perform on stage, does that, how does that influence your costume decisions, knowing that I'm going to be performing in this versus I'm just going to be walking around a con?
I still wear that heavy thing on stage. I don't care. For me, I have a background in theater, and I have been put through the ringer when it comes to costumes and having to be on stage in them. So when I was in college, I didn't do opera and I didn't do musicals. But one of the first things that they would do in the costuming department and things like that when they're doing an opera is they build the corset first before, as soon as they cast everything, and they usually cast them out really early. So the costume department has time to build all of the corsets for all of the women. And then by the time they start rehearsals, they're able to be rehearsing in their corsets. And that way, they learn how to breathe in their corsets. And I wear a costume corset. It's a cheap Amazon corset. So it's not real steel boning or anything crazy like that. Actually, the Elsa one is really well made. Surprisingly, I got it off eBay for like $35. And it showed up, and my friend was looking at it, and she does a lot of corsetry stuff, and she was like, this is a really nice corset. But I just keep it a little looser, so I don't worry, and then I can breathe, and it's fine. The skirt just gets really sweaty. That's the main thing. And sometimes, every once in a while, if I loosen my corset up a little too much, it might slip down a little bit, because it just gets full of sweat. details on the Starfleet uniform. You've got your pips. I got these from a guy on Etsy who 3D printed them, but they came and they looked like weird and orange. So I had to go through, and they were really rough. You can kind of see it too if you get up close to these. They were rough. I had to file them down a little bit. I had to, but I really wanted magnets. I wanted a magnet back. That was super important to me. And this actually, this bar, it came with a full set of pips so I could go all the way up to a captain, and I had to do some like fill in, like some resin fill in, or just like some paint fill in to buff it up, and then I spray painted them to make them look. And I was kind of mad because I kind of spent a lot of money on them, and then for them to show up, and I had to do that much work for them. But at that point, I had a week until the convention, and so it had to get done. And then I built, because this is my Bev, so I have her little medical jacket, which was just, I went online and I found a scrubs pattern that was scrubs and lab coats. And I modified it enough to make it look like hers, like this. This actually is, the pattern comes out more. It's, so I folded it under to make it lay closer to like what her lab coat was. There's an extra set of pockets on there, but when you're at a con and you're in a freaking onesie without pockets.
Yes. I don't know, it's like in the future they thought no one would have pockets.
They like Velcro.
I don't
everything.
Understand Susan. I know.
Velcro is very futuristic.
Right, yeah.
I still think
there's, I actually, with the costume contest in Indianapolis, if you live here or near here, there's Incognito. She was judging the costume contest. She does everything from Warblow workshops to intro to sewing workshops. So you can learn how to thread your bobbin, which almost every, for about a year and a half, and I've only been doing this for 2.5 years, for a year and a half of my 2.5 years of sewing, I've had to like Google and YouTube how to wind a fucking bobbin.
That's what my issues are. Like, if there's a problem with that machine, it's doing something bad. It's like 99% of the time, it's something with the bobbin.
It's the
it
bobbin.
It never fails.
And a can of air is your savior. A can of air and a fresh needle usually fixes everything.
Making sure your needle's not bent. I bent one before I put the heavy duty one.
Oh, that's actually, I broke two. So one of the, in order to attach my cape for this, I sewed in, I sewed in a couple pieces of Velcro at the top, and then there's pieces of Velcro on the other side. I wanted it so that it would quick release if it got caught on something.
Or somebody steps on it.
Or some. and so I used my machine to sew this in. That was fine for the very top because the boning ends there. So that went through, didn't even think about it. Went to go and do the bottom part, not really thinking about it. And this actually does have, I think, some steel bendy boning in here. And I broke two needles before. I was like, you're stupid. Just sew between those two things. That's all you need. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. That's part of the fun of cosplay. But don't also, it's supposed to be fun. If you want to do something, give yourself the time to enjoy it and not panic about it. This, because I was able to, I was using a lot of things that I knew, I was able to do this in a month, and that was, you know, it wasn't so bad. I didn't build my corset, but I built my skirt and all those little pieces, and you know, I gave myself a day or so to work on them. The embellishments on this stupid corset took the longest of anything, second longest. The longest was actually, oddly enough, this, what is a single piece of 3-yard fabric. Puffy painting my trefoils onto my cape took 3 days because I could only do it a section at a time. And this is like, this is about a section and then that's a section. So it took about three days to do. It takes about 4 hours. So I would do it in the morning, let it dry half the day, and then do it again before I went, move it, shift it on the table, and do it again before bed. So knowing what you're doing, and or not knowing what you're doing, you don't have to know what you're doing, but like once you start on that piece, kind of thinking it through and walking yourself through it. We have just a couple more minutes. Do you have any questions? Did we cover a lot of crazy crap?
I'm gonna just look at your costume.
Yeah, we brought them to, if you want to come up and just like poke around at things and feel stuff.
Did you see her discovery?
I know, that's amazing.
So yeah, that's I guess that's our panel.